We're in Shmuel Bet. We're in Per Gimel. We are up to Pasuk Vav. Last time we learned, which was actually 2 weeks ago, last week we did not have class. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend. But here we are today. We covered the first few sentences on page 212. We are again up to Pasuk Vav on the top of page 214. We saw basically many of David's offspring, his children, and we talked a little bit about some of the wives that he had, some of them who were favorable, some who were not as favorable, such as marrying someone who was Yefas Tohar, which from the battlefield. We also concluded in Pasuk Hey that he also had another child from a woman by the name of Egla, which means cow or calf. But that was a term of endearment, as one would often say to their loved one, that you're my baby, you're someone that I nurture and care for. And this was, as the commentators explain, Michal, who we are actually going to be seeing him encountering and coming back together again after many years in this parak. We'll hopefully be seeing that today. We're at the Pasuk Vav. Vayhi biyos hamilchama bein beis Shaul uvein beis David. And there was this war, as we've been discussing already, between the house of Shaul, who has already passed away, died on the battlefield with three of his children. However, there was one of his children by the name of Ishbosheth that was not on the battlefield, not a soldier, not a warrior, perhaps because he was not a man of much courage, or not a very brave individual. Maybe he was too young to fight. But nonetheless, that was on one side in which many of the Jewish people showed allegiance to, including Avner, at least for a little while. And on the other side is David. And it was a tremendous war. The Avner Hoya Mischazek Bivesh Shaul. So Avner, who was the one who provoked the whole war to begin with. As we saw before, he wanted the two groups of 12 to be jesting with one another, just to be playing with one another, which ended up causing many people to die. So Avner was Mischazek. He was powerful and he showed strength, or as translated, he exerted himself on behalf of Beis Shaul. Now, again, Shaul is not alive. Rashi comments over here in Pasuk Vav, the very first words of this page of Rashi, Hay Mischazek b'chol koach, with all his might, al Beis Shaul lahamid malchusa. He very much wanted, even after Shaul's passing, that it should continue this level of malucha to his child, to Ishbosheth. And therefore, he did everything in his power. So he was a tremendously dedicated and devoted subject to Ishbosheth. And therefore, you would probably imagine that you would, if you were the king, Ishbosheth, you would show him a tremendous amount of respect. And the last thing you would ever want to do is to humiliate him, or to make him feel that you don't care about him, because he can turn in a blink of an eye, which is precisely what's going to happen, as we'll see in a few moments. But Avner, yes. So Avner, at this point, shows tremendous loyalty toward Beis Shaul. Now, it's interesting the language of Beis, why it says Beis Shaul. So if you look in the Mesudas David over here, still the first line, Bevein Shaul's Lahamid Hamulucha Biad Ishbosheth Beno. It sounds like it wasn't just that he showed loyalty to Shaul, but even now to Ishbosheth, his son. However, not everyone agrees to this interpretation. If we look actually in the English on page 215, which I don't think I underlined, but the very top left, it says the language implies that Avner did so more out of loyalty to Shaul than to Ishbosheth, because it doesn't say he was mischazek for Ishbosheth. This is Bevei Shaul. So because he was a loyal man to Shaul, and unfortunately Shaul this my great king had died on the battlefield, so I'm going to continue to show loyalty, but I don't really have the same connection, the same relationship, the same rapport to his son, to Ishbosheth. And then it continues, quoting the words of the Malbim, that Avner made himself powerful in the house of Shaul. Avner made himself the de facto head of the government. Ishbosheth's status was reduced to nothing more than a figurehead similar to many modern kings or queens nowadays. And therefore, a way that we can read this pasuk is Mischazik Bevei Shaul, that Avner looked at Shaul and he realized that he was a good king. He was a powerful man. He went out to the battlefield. He didn't care if his life was going to be on the line. He died in the battlefield. This guy, Ishbosheth, he's a coward. He's someone who does not deserve royalty. He doesn't deserve to be the next king. And therefore, maybe Avner, in the back of his mind, or maybe very much out in the open, he was trying to establish himself as the next king after Shaul. Maybe not that Ishbosheth should be the next king. Now, I'll put him as the king, but I'm the one that's actually going to be doing everything. I'll be the one behind the scenes pulling all the strings. We're going to see that in greater detail in the next couple of psukim. Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk tells us, well, Shaul, again, he died, but nonetheless, he had a Pilegesh, concubine, Ushma Ritzba. Right, whatever, not the most interesting name in the world. Right? Don't name your kid that.
It means floor.
Right, a Ritzba, that's right. That's what.
This guy is telling about us.
Or her parents. Her parents named her. I mean,
why didn't you mention her parents? Bas
Aya.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll have to put some thought into that. Yeah, it's right. You're right.
Negative. Yeah, all these things are insults.
Right. It's a good point. It's a good point. And it's possible, as we've said before, that this might not necessarily be the person's name. It may be they had another name, but a name represents the essence of the person, and then that person acquires a specific name, right? And therefore, maybe we'll have to see who this person was a little bit, or what she signifies. Maybe there's a reason why that's her name. Maybe we'll have to see. The Yomer, let's finish this pasuk first. Vayomer el Avner, so he said, it doesn't say who said it, Vayomer el Avner, Madua b'asa el Pilegesh avi. Why did you come upon, and Mesudas Sion explains that it means what we think it is, Moshen Bia Ubi'ila, have relations with this Pilegesh avi, which is my father.
So this has to be Ishbosheth.
Right. And that's exactly, as you just pointed out, is what the Mesudas David sees, that the Mesudas David in Pasuk Zion says, Vayomer Stam, it says it plainly, Vopirish mi ha'omer, it doesn't say who's the one who's speaking, Me'atzma Yuvan, however, you can probably figure it out on your own, which you did, She'omer ha'yishboshes, it must have been him, She'nemar, after all, the end of the Pasuk says, El Pilegish Avi, my father, so it must be, that's talking about it's the son who is speaking, and since all other Shaul's other children were dead, so it must be referring to Ishbosheth was in fact the person that spoke over here. And if we continue in the Mesudas David, the next one he says, Madua b'asik, why did you take this Pilegesh? So you can say, what's the big deal? Your father was alive. I wouldn't take your father's Pilegesh. That would be a terrible thing. But now your father's not alive, so who cares, right? Her husband died. So, says Mesudas David, Ki almenuso shel melech asur lehedyet. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that when it comes to a almana, typically a widow can remarry, but if the widow was once connected somehow to the melech, to a king, asur lehedyet. You are not allowed to marry a common person. Right, it's beneath her because she was married to the melech. For her now to marry some simpleton, a commoner, it's not something which is appropriate. Therefore, this is the reason why he should not have done so. But maybe, as we were saying, what was Avner trying to establish himself as?
The king.
As the king, and therefore, to Avner, I'm no hedyet. I'm not a hedyet. I'm the next Melech. I'm the next king. Therefore, maybe we can understand that this is probably the reason why Ishbosheth got so nervous. Because why are you taking the Pelegesh of my father? Maybe you're trying to, what? Take over his position. And it's not just, oh, I'm upset because she's a very nice, sweet girl and I was going to hopefully marry her one day. It had nothing to do with it. The problem was that by doing so, you're giving the perception that I'm a nobody and that you are the somebody, that you're the king. And that's something which I'm not happy with whatsoever. Okay. Pasaches. So, this was a pretty strong accusation. Maybe he did so, maybe he didn't. Now, normally you would want to, if you are accused of something, for example, the very beginning of Shmuel Aleph, where Chana was accused of being drunk, so she said, it's absolutely not true. So that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, if someone rebukes you, but it's completely wrong, it's false, you have to say it's not true. Here, because of the language of how he answers him, it implies that he actually took her, but he had no other choice but to get extremely angry. And this is exactly what he does. But Yichar Avner Ma'od, that Avner was so, so angry. Al Divrei Ishbosheth, on the way that Ishbosheth had spoken to him and accused him, even though he might have actually done it, of taking Ritzvah. And Vayomer, he said, Harosh Kelav Anochi, Asher Yehuda. Translated here, and there's a few interpretations of what this means. Am I the chief dog warden of Yehuda? Hayom eseh chesed im beis sha'ol avicha. Today, in all days, I've been doing tremendous acts of kindness in your father's home. El echav, to your brothers, ve'el meri'ehu, to your friends. Mesudah Sion translated as ohavav, those who are endeared to you, those who you love, those you care for. V'lo him siticha biyad David. Him siticha, as Mesudas Sion translates it as, in hazmana masira, I never gave you over to David. David could kill you in a blink of an eye, so easily. He's a tremendous soldier, a tremendous warrior. I protected your father, and I'm now protecting you at all times and at all costs. Tremendous self-sacrifice on my part. And this is how you repay me. V'tifkod alai avon ha'isha hayom. And you, v'tifkod, says Mesudas Sion, inyan zikaron, now you remember upon me the avon of the isha hayom. This one little insignificant thing. This is the way you repay me. This is how you treat me. All the nice things I did. I've been your bodyguard and your father's bodyguard. I've been protecting him his entire life. And now your life. And this is what you say? You start accusing me of doing things wrong? How dare you? And because of this, as we're going to see, this one action, or the words, or accusation, is what causes Avner to leave Ishbosheth and side with the enemy, with David. And you can imagine, if Avner is now going to side with David, that's a tremendous, tremendous good news for the house of David, in the fact that this powerful man is now on his side. Ultimately, that probably means the future of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish nation. David will be the Melech for all Israel. In fact, that's what will happen in a little bit. Right. So that's what really angered him. If we start understanding this pasuk a little bit, let's look at the Mesudas. Mesudas David over here for Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches says, what does it mean, Harosh Kelev? Again, the way we translate it, actually the way it's translated in the English is, am I the chief dog warden? What does that mean? Why on earth would you compare yourself, Avner, to someone who takes care of dogs? What's the significance of that? So, there's a few interesting explanations. I'll save what I consider the best for last. So, let's start off with the Mesudas David. Ratzalom is to say, Madua bezisti, why were you mavazim me? Why did you humiliate me? V'chi neni sar umona al anshi malchutecha. Am I not a powerful leader over all the men of your malchus? I am the... Ultimately, I rule over a huge army. I am the most powerful person. Okay, maybe outside of you, maybe not outside of you. V'chi ani rosh umona al klavim b'malchus Yehuda. Anshi malchotecha asher sinas. Am I the one who takes care of the dogs of Yehuda and the men that you hate so much? What are you talking about? You think I'm just like a nobody? You're talking to me like I'm a nobody. How could you talk to me like this? Kolomer. The only way, person you should really be humiliating, if you feel so inclined to humiliate anyone, should be someone who walks dogs for a living. Someone that doesn't have the most prominent of positions, at least those days. I heard nowadays in the city you can make a bundle. So that's how the Mesudas Dovin interprets it. That he's saying that, who are you talking to? Do you realize the type of person you're talking to? I'm not a nobody, I'm a somebody. You should be speaking to me with more respect. Again, constantly going back to this theme, this underlining theme, that Avner felt that he was not just a Hegyot. He felt that he was a cut above, maybe even above Ishbosheth, to the point that he speaks back. This is a king, right? If I'm a king and I want to humiliate you, well, guess what you're going to say back to me? Probably nothing, right? Because I can do whatever I want. You're more than Malchus. I can say whatever I want. That the great thing about being a king is it's a one-way street. You can't say anything back to me.
It's good but to be king, right?
It's a great thing. That'd be a fun thing to do. But this is nonetheless the way that Avner spoke back. Obviously, not showing a tremendous amount of respect to Ishbosheth. And you can understand, and Ishbosheth was a man who did not fight any wars. The only reason why he was the Melech is because de facto his father died, all of his powerful brothers, who would be much greater at king, who had much more courage and skills on the battlefield, they died. So who do you have left? You have this one guy. So people looked at him like, who is this guy? He's a nobody. And therefore he spoke to him in this manner. This is actually, it's also brought down this in the on the English, on the left side, on the bottom, this idea. Harosh Kelev Anochi. We'll start off reading Rashi, and we'll actually see what Rashi says inside. Rashi gives an alternative translation than the top right. Why should I be a chief for you? It's better to be a dog, a plain citizen in Yehuda. The gist of Avner's rhetorical question is, why should I continue to devote myself to the house of Shaul and not hand you over to David when you reward my loyalty by making such an accusation? That's what Rashi says. We look in the Rashi over here in Pasuk Ches Harosh Kelev Anochi Asher LeYehuda, jumping down a few lines. V'chi Echbos Lios Rosh Beveisecha. Totally Leos Kelev the Hedyot Beveis David. I'd rather be a nobody over there with and David's the Chintargin Yonason. Therefore, instead of being a leader by you, and to me, big deal, I'm a leader over you, you're nothing. I'd rather be a nobody, a small little insignificant position. But I know that I'm being ruled by someone who is brave, someone who is great, the powerful man, such as David. And therefore that's another interpretation of himself comparing to a dog warden. I'd rather do that than have to hang out with you based on your respect. And therefore that's what he said. I'm not going to be promoted when I'm going to walk across the battlefield to David's side. I'm not going to be on the top because there are already people that have those positions. I don't care. I'll take any position so that I no longer have to be with you. I'd rather be with him. Let me share with you two other ideas of this idea of being this dog warden. It's an interesting piece of Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, quote, "Pnei hador kepnei kelev," that there's going to be a generation in which some actually say it may even be this generation we live in, that will be pre-Messianic times, before the coming of Mashiach, in which Pnei hador kepnei kelev, that the leaders of the generation will have the faces of dogs. Well, if you look at the panel of the upcoming elections, maybe you can see some resemblance. But that's not really what it's necessarily referring to over here. There's a couple interpretations. There's many interpretations. I'd like to share with you just two of them. The first one is going to be, I'll read inside. The other one I'll talk about outside, which is my favorite. He says like this, that the word kelev comes from the word kulolev, because the perception of a dog is man's best friend, and it could very well be that way, but the reason why a good old dog is so loving and caring is because it knows it's, you're going to give him a bone, right? Because you care for him. So therefore, he gives the perception that I care about you, and I'm trustworthy, and I'll do everything for you, so long as that you care for it. But if you do not care for it, and you're mean and nasty to it, it will turn around and give you a little zetz, a little bite. And therefore, he explains like this. This is the reason why it's brought down that anyone who is considered to be morid b'malchus is considered to be like a kelev, like a dog. In which way? That on the in the front, you give the perception that I care about you. Oh, yes, King, you're terrific. You're the most powerful man in the world. I would never be disobedient and go against your word. And as soon as you turn your back, you defy him. That's called a kelev. Because that's the dog. A dog will do everything nice in front of you, but not this way. And therefore, this is how he...
I don't think whoever wrote this knew dogs.
Maybe different types.
Maybe they're talking about cats. Cats are like that.
Well,
dogs,
it could be...
love you no matter what. Dogs don't usually turn on you. I disagree.
Okay, it's fine. It could be different cut. It could be a pit bull we're talking about over here.
Only because they're trained that way. No, I disagree. Sorry.
So, okay, that's fine. So... you'll maybe like the next interpretation a little bit better. But this is maybe what it means when he was saying, Harosh Kelev Anochi. You think I'm like a dog? A dog warden? I'm someone who is related to dogs that only show loyalty to you when it's in my favor. But when it's not, I'm not in your, not in front of you, I'm going to be disloyal to you? No, that's not what I am. I'm a person that always showed respect and loyalty to you and to your father and protected you. Biyad David. That's one answer. Another answer is like this. As we mentioned, Avner was really the leader. He was the one behind the scenes making all the decisions, and the one who was on all the television screens that everyone thought, wow, this is such a powerful person. But he all he's doing is reading a speech that he doesn't even know what half the words mean. He's just reading it. And the real powerhouses, the ones that are behind the scenes, are the ones that are really running the world, running the country. And therefore, you, the leader, are merely as a marionette. Someone above is pulling the strings above, and your hands and legs dance and move about. And therefore, it's brought down like this. Imagine for a moment, there's different ways to explain it, I'll try to explain it this way, that you've never in your life seen a human being, and you've never seen a dog, right? You've never seen, or you have, but you've never seen any relationship between a dog and a, never. And all of a sudden you come to the United States and you look in Central Park and there's someone walking a dog, right? Someone's walking a dog. So what would you think? It's like, there's a dog and then there's a person. So who is leading who? Who is walking who? The dog is leading the person. The dog is leading the person, absolutely. However, I believe it's Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. I have to look it up.
Because Jerry Seinfeld said the same thing.
Oh, really? So you probably learned.
I heard him just say a few days ago.
This is.
He went and studied Salanta.
I'll look it up. This is a few hundred years old, this explanation. What does it happen? You see this dog, and the dog is in front. The dog is leading. The dog's running the show. The reality is there's this little string called a leash that's around its neck, and any time the dog veers, goes in a different direction, the person in the back pulls the string, and all of a sudden it goes in a different way. The way it's actually brought down in the Sfarim is that every once in a while the dog turns around to its master to see if it's doing the right thing. And therefore, that's how they explain this Maimar Chazal in Gemara and Sanhedrin that says, Pnei Hador Kipnei Kelev, that the leaders of the generation, they are going to be like dogs. In which way? Not they're going to look like dogs, which again may or may not be one explanation, but it means that they will only look like the leaders. They will be on the screens and they're going to be giving the speeches. But the truth is, the people, the followers, the ones that should be getting guidance from them, they're the ones that ultimately will be making decisions. The leaders are not the leaders at all. And maybe if we would want to borrow that idea, well, it's not brought down over here, but I want to borrow this concept because I like that answer, because it, to me, it's more real, is that's maybe what he was saying. Am I a chief dog warden? What does a dog warden do? One of his responsibilities of every dog warden is he must take the dogs out for a walk. You know, probably, if you're a dog warden, you probably walk dogs. So therefore, what was he saying? He is saying that I am, maybe it's not a question. He's saying, I am a dog warden. And guess who the dog is? You, Ishbosheth, you're this leader, but I'm really the warden. I'm the one that's walking you, because I'm really the one that's in charge here and not you. So how dare you speak negatively about me because I took this Pelegesh, but I had every right to take this Pelegesh. A Hedyot's not allowed to take her. I'm not a Hedyot. I should be the next king. Maybe that's what he was really saying. Either way, let's move on. Pasuk... Yes. Ko yaseh Elokim l'Avnim. V'cho Yosef ko yaseh, which is actually a language, as the Mefarshim bring down, is a shvua. That's what it says in Mesudas David. Hu inyan shvuas, is an oath. I swear to this. So Hashem will do l'Avner. He's referring to himself. V'cho Yosef lo, so it shall continue, more of this should happen. Ki kasher nishma Hashem lo David, as Hashem had sworn to David. Ki kein eselo, so it shall be. In other words, as David was sworn by God that he will be the next king, and that's exactly what should happen. No longer should you be the king. So this David continues along this line of reasoning in Pasuk Tes, Kasher Nishma Hashem, Lamlichu al Kol Yisrael. Not that David's going to have a little piece of the pie, that little section by Hebron, that area where he will reign. No, al Kol Yisrael, David will be ruler of all the Jewish people. Eselo says in Mesudas David, with David Asayo al Devar Mulcha, I am going to do whatever I can, and so of course Hashem will ensure that David, and not you, will be the next leader for the Jewish people. So Ishbosheth really blew it over here. Pasuk Yud. L'havir hamamlocha mebeis Shaul. And at this point, after all, Shaul was not from Shevet Yehuda, which we just read in Parshas Vayechin, last week's Parsha, that Yehuda was going to be the one who will have Malchus. So this man, Shaul from Binyamin, no longer will the Malucha be by him. L'hokim es kisei David al Yisrael, l'hokim to establish the throne of David upon the Jewish people, v'al Yehuda midan bi'ad ber shava. So no longer will he be Melech, or more importantly, will you be the king, rather David. Pasuk Yud Aleph, v'ch lo yochel od l'hashiv es Avner davar mi'yiraso oso. So this is your chance, right? When someone is about to get fired, or someone's walking out the door, until that point in time, you have reservations. I don't like the guy, I won't say anything. But he's leaving. So it's like, now's your chance. You can say whatever you want. But he didn't say a word. Why wouldn't he have said a word? Speak up. Says the pasuk, Mirasso oso. This king, in quotations, he was afraid of Avner. So therefore, it again really shows the lack of courage, and he was not the most brave of individuals. Oh, Ishbosheth, that's right. Pasuk Yudbet. So you can imagine this guy was in not so happy. Avner was, and therefore he immediately walks out. And where is he going? He's not taking any stops to any Starbucks. He's going straight to David. Now, David, upon seeing Avner, you would probably tremble. This guy's going to try to kill me. But now Avner is going to try to have some loyalty. The Yishlach Avner Melachim El David Tachtav lemor lemi aretz. It's interesting. Avner was no fool. He wasn't just going to walk into the camp himself. He decided to send messengers to David first, and he asked the question, lemi aretz. Whose is this land? Which again, obviously, if there was a whole quarrel, he wouldn't say, who does it belong to? He would have said, get out of this land. It belongs to Ishbosheth. The fact that he said, lemi aretz, who does this land belong to? He was really saying, it should all belong to you. Lamor saying, as we turn to page 216, Lamor to say, karta bris chayiti, please have a covenant with me, have a bris with me, so that we can be peaceful with one another. Ini yadi imach, my hand will be with you. L'hasev alecha es kol Yisrael. So my hand will be with you to turn all of Klal Yisrael in your direction toward you. Now, we look at Rashi. Rashi points out something interesting. If we find the word tachtav, which you can see it's in brackets, tachtav could be written with a yud or without it. So there's a different kri and ksiv. The way it's written and the way it's actually read is a little bit different over here. And Rashi points out that Avner, who by the way will die in this parak, which I didn't make those pages, I don't think, he will die in this parak. You can say, well, why? What did he do wrong? After all, he now finally got it right. If he was going to be killed, let him have died before. Not now. The fact that he dies, once he shows respect and allegiance to David, seems to make no sense. So we look in this Rashi toward the bottom of page 214, Dabar Acher. Rashi says, Tachtav in his stead means Shemo hisker tchila beigeres. It doesn't just mean that he sent messengers instead of me going myself. Tachtav could also mean the message in which was sent, which was written on an igeres, on a letter, on a document, and the messenger handed over the letter, the official document, which was had Avner's name on it. V'yachakach hisker shem David. What's interesting was the choice of how the names were placed. First, Avner mentions his own name, and only afterwards does he mention David. And therefore, says Rashi, L'kach nenash, and that's why he was punished. What was the punishment? K'sav mimeni Avner shalsar sheva Yisrael, l'David melech Yisrael shalom. That was the actual quote of the message, that I am Avner, the officer of Yisrael, I am sending it to you, David melech Yisrael, shalom, peace. But the problem was that you should first mention David's name. To show the respect that David Melech Yisrael deserves, his name should have been written on the top of the letter, and then only afterwards, my name, Avner. And the fact that he wrote it out of order shows a lack of respect, and therefore he was punished. So you say, so big deal. So maybe he didn't do so well when it came to high school literature, so he accidentally wrote one name above the other. But we know that this is the whole personality of what Avner was. Avner, on the other side, was having a struggle with the leadership. He felt that he should be the leader. Who are you, Ishbosheth? I should be the leader. So therefore, appropriately, it makes sense that when he joins David's side, he wasn't going to be happy being a warden for dogs. He wanted to be the leader, maybe even above David. So when he mentions that his name is above David, it's not just because he made a little mistake. He did it on purpose, and his point was very clear that I should be the next leader, or I should certainly be in a very exalted position.
Where is his name above
Rashi said, the last words of Rashi, which basically tells us what's written on this letter, it says, quote, Mimeni Avner Sar Sava Yisrael, I am sending this letter, my name Avner, I'm sending it with David Melech Yisrael, shalom. That's what the Rashi says in the very bottom of page 214. So therefore, the fact that he wrote it in this particular way, that was a sign of disrespect.
Where is the letter on top? Where do we see that you sent the letter?
It's only in
the word
tachtav.
They divide it from the word tachtav. So that, and
the Rabbi Tansky said one explanation is that he sent someone instead of him, and the other explanation is that he put David's name underneath him instead of David's name on top.
That's how Rashi does the Nigeris.
I'm thinking the Yud is not in the one without the Nekudot, without the vowels, and the other one is, so it's because the, like Shem stands for the word Yud, the letter Yud, and he didn't have maybe
called
a gem or something?
Could be. That's very, very possible.
So, which one do we accept? We accept the one
there
with the...
The way it's...
No, not expression. I mean, which one... I mean, there's two...
With the three.
But there's the three of two.
One in the front.
We do the...
One with the three, right?
We do the three.
Yeah, you'll see. It says taktav, there's a kuf, which means short for kri. That's how we read it.
Okay.
But the way it's actually written in the critical text is that way without a yud.
Right. Which would be red taktav?
We would... Right. Correct.
It could also be red tachtov.
But we don't read it that way.
Right.
Correct. But that's
it's
actually we have that sometimes in the Torah itself also, a few times.
And then who decides how it's read?
The
Rabbani.
It's through
the Sora.
Yeah. All
right.
God.
Yeah.
God did. That's the reality. We find this throughout history that the people who are actual Rishayim, we find that they have difficulty knowing their place. We find this when it came to Megillas Esther. The very beginning of Megillas Esther, when Vashti didn't go to Achashverosh as she was commanded, so he said, what should I do, what should I do? So he had a whole list of officials, who wise men, and the last one, it says Muhan. And no, it doesn't, who's Muhan? So the Talmud says it's Haman. No one does the Grager thing when it comes to hearing that name. But it's interesting that his name is last, and it was written in order of prominence, which means he was really the last to have spoken, but he was the only one that spoke, because someone who is a Rasha speaks out of turn. We also found that by Lavan. Lavan and his father, Betuel, that when Eliezer came to find a spouse for Yitzchak, so Lavan said, oh, it's a great idea. It's a great way he spoke up. And what do you mean? The father was right there, Besuel. So we see the same idea. The opposite is we know that Yishmael did tshuva. Yishmael, who did all the sins in the world, he did tshuva. And Chazal tells us, how do we know he did tshuva? Because when it came to the burial of his father, it says that who buried Abraham? Yitzchak and Yishmael, in that order, is how the Pasuk says it. And it's not just that it's written in that way, but the significance of it is that Yishmael began to know his place. He understood who he was and his situation. Unfortunately, Avner over here did not, and for this reason, he is punished. We're going to see a couple more Pasukim. Pasuk Yud Gimel, let's move on. Pasuk Yud Gimel says, Vayomer Tovani Echros Itcha Bris. So you can imagine David's surprise, but this is great news. Tov, it's fine. I will have a bris with you, Avner. Great. After all, it only means I'm going to be the king. It's all upside, nothing to lose. Achtavar Echa Anochi Shom Itcha. Not so fast. There's actually one thing I still want. Lamor, lo siras panai, do not want to see your face. Ki im lifnei habiacha is michal bashol bibuach liro says panai. There's only one stipulation I'm going to make. If you want to come here, you can only do so if you bring someone along with you. Namely, Michal, my wife. Now, it's interesting that he decides to call her michal bashol. I mean, who else would it be? You would think some other Michal. Obviously, he's talking about his wife, the one that he loves so dearly,
Egla?
But couldn't see. Yeah, Egla, the cow, right? That he wanted to see Michal. He couldn't see her for so many years. So let me finally this. Why does the Pasuk have to call her? Why, rather, does David have to say, please bring Michal Bas Shaul? Well, maybe because... Oh, I didn't know, so you'd have brought some other Michal, and you didn't tell me, you know, and you told me the contract, it doesn't say Michal Mashal. That's one answer. Before I should give a few other interpretations. starting off with Rashi. Rashi says over here in Pasuk Gimel, Lifnei Haviyacha, Lifnei Ra'oscha Panai, before you see my face, Haviyacha is Micha. I want you to bring Micha. So again, it does all Rashi really does is explain what he wanted. But obviously there was some reason, as Rashi is trying to allude to over here, as to some type of a strategy that that David had. There must have been something that was bothering him, because Avner always wanted to kill me. How do I know that this is not some type of a plot to try to wipe me off the face of the earth? And therefore he said, I want you to bring Michal. If you bring my wife, then that already will show that you're serious. So maybe that was the reason that he wanted to wait. Furthermore, other Mephoshim, which we'll really see probably more next week, is that the reason why it's called Michal Bashaol is because he was saying, listen, I know Avner, you show allegiance to this Ishbosheth character. Why? Because he is somehow related to a very powerful king by the name of Shaul. Happens to be his child, Shaul's child. That's why you want to show respect. You know what? Why don't you bring Michal Bashaul to me? Why Bashaul? It's because, on one hand, I'm David. You know that I'm supposed to be king at some point. The whole concern is that there should be some chain of command immediately after Shaul, that his child should be in a position of leadership. How about Michal? My wife is the queen, is the daughter of Shaul. And therefore, by you bringing her to me, you're not really selling yourself short. You're not, exactly. So you're not doing anything wrong. Instead of you showing allegiance to Ishbosheth, who is Shaul's child, so show allegiance to me, and now bring Michal Bashaul. Therefore, you'll be able to have this direct connection. Others explain like this: the significance of why this was done was, how was it possible that Michal was married to someone else, which we're going to discuss. Obviously, this man that she... Michal was married to David, and then she was given over to another man by the name of Paltiel ben Laish. Right?
She married David again?
That's a question. Now, not only how could she marry David again, which is forbidden, right? But how was she allowed to marry Paltiel if, in fact, she was already married? You can't marry someone if you're married. It's against the rules, right? So how was she allowed to do so? And the answer is because Shaul felt that David was more of a malchus, and someone who rebels against the king, is not that he deserves to die.
He's dead.
And therefore, Michal, you're married to David. No, you're not. He's dead. Because he's more of a malchus. And therefore, you're allowed to marry Paltiel. Turns out, Paltiel and had no interest in being part of this. He was forced to do so, as we'll see, and therefore it was not really a marriage. It was possibly a marriage. It was a marriage in Shaul's eyes, but it wasn't a valid marriage, because if I would go up to a married woman and say Hari Mekudeshetli and give her a ring or whatever, it means nothing because she's already married. So therefore, to Paltiel, it was worthless. It was not a marriage, and therefore he didn't want to have anything to do with Michal, as we'll see probably more next week. But the question was, how did Avner feel about it? Maybe Avner felt that, in fact, I'm more b'malchus, and therefore I'm like a dead man, and therefore Michal should not be given back to me, right? And therefore, what was the true litmus test to show your allegiance to me? Is by you bringing Michal back, because once you bring Michal back, you will have shown that you really never agreed to the ruling of Shaul, that I was like a dead man, but rather I was never more of a malchus. I never did anything wrong, and therefore by you giving me back my wife, that in fact acknowledges that I was always right, and it shows the allegiance, exactly. So those are a few of the reasons that Chazal bring to indicate, in fact, that he was 100% sincere, and we're going to see next week, as he brings her back, his tremendous allegiance, but unfortunately that won't last long, as he will be unfortunately killed. We'll have to stop here, and we'll pick it up